This is Radio Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. Smokers need not apply. That's the message one private employer in Massachusetts will start sending job seekers next year. Since 1997, there's been a ban in Massachusetts on hiring smokers as police officers or firefighters. But now the Massachusetts Hospital Association will become one of the state's first private employers to adopt such a ban. And it hopes other employers will do the same as a way to improve employees' health. WBUR's Martha Biebinger reports.
For Lynn Nicholas, president and CEO of the Massachusetts Hospital Association, this is personal.
I have lost my own father and many, many of my beloved relatives to smoke and secondhand smoke.
Nicholas says refusing to hire employees who use tobacco of any kind is an extension of the association's no smoking policy in and around its offices.
We're basically saying this is not an environment that we want in the future, and so we're not going to add individuals who use tobacco to our workforce.
Nicholas hopes to become a model for hospitals in her association and other employers. She may be standing alone for a while.
It sounds like a well-intentioned idea, but it may be the post-Halloween in me. I find it a little bit scary.
Andrew Tarsi, director of the Progressive Business Leaders Network in Massachusetts, says pulling smokers out of the job pool could mean employers don't get the most qualified applicants or unwittingly screen out members of some socioeconomic groups. Most employers, says Tarsi, are also wary of intervening in employees' personal choices.
A lot of employers would question whether this is a slippery slope. Will the next set of screens be about whether they drink or what their diet is, other lifestyle choices? And where does that end?
The Hospital Association says it has no plans to restrict hiring based on any other criteria. Police and fire departments across the state stopped hiring smokers in 1997 as part of a pension system overhaul. But a ban on hiring or firing smokers would be illegal in 29 states and the District of Columbia, according to the National Conference of State Legislatures. That's one reason the practice has not become more common, says Leonard Santacola with World at Work, a nonprofit human resources research group.
It's still not considered to be a growing trend. The companies that I've seen that have done it have been mostly in the healthcare arena. Most employers do wellness initiatives that are more of the carrot than the stick approach to try to get people to change their behaviors.
The Massachusetts Hospital Association does offer smoking cessation programs for current employees. It does not plan to check up on the off-duty behavior of new hires. For WBUR, I'm Martha Biebinger.
Joining us now to talk more about this new hiring policy that rules out smokers is Lynn Nicholas, president and CEO of the Massachusetts Hospital Association. Welcome to Radio Boston, Lynn.
Good afternoon, Sasha. Thank you.
And also with us is Andrew Tarsi, executive director of the Progressive Business Leaders Network. Thanks for coming in, Andrew.
Thank you.
And listeners, we want to know if you think that private employers should be able to refuse employment to smokers, or if you think that one day that could lead to employers also refusing to hire drinkers or overweight people or people who don't eat healthily enough. We also want to know if you already work in a job that requires you in some way not to smoke. Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Lynn Nicholas of the Massachusetts Hospital Association, why did the MHA make this decision to not hire smokers?
Well, Sasha, we're in the healthcare business. We represent the hospitals across the Commonwealth, and every day we see patients, we see unnecessary lives lost, we see cost of healthcare impacted. We see a lot of tragedy around this, and tobacco is the leading preventable cause of death in the United States. So, you know, I thought we have an opportunity to at least make a small statement about this. And the culture of our organization is all about health, and we just felt it was an important thing to do.
Now, in Martha Biebinger's piece, which we just heard, there was a human resources expert saying that most companies opt for the carrot versus the stick approach to encouraging employees to be healthy. So you might encourage them to join a fitness club or something like that. Why not stay with that approach or add more firepower to that approach at the MHA?
Well, frankly, Sasha, carrots haven't been really shown to work in this regard. We offer a lot of carrots here. We have a staff-driven, company-wide initiative called the Healing Initiative, which is healthy eating, active living, and green. And we do a lot of things that are carrot-y in that regard, and they're fun, and the employees embrace them. But tobacco use is a very, very different issue, and it's much more black and white. And carrots haven't worked. We do have some current smokers, but this is really about, you know, our future workforce and looking towards a time when, you know, maybe years and years from now, we won't have people who use tobacco as part of this company.
You've also said that you'd like other employers to follow your lead, especially the member employers who belong to the Mass Hospital Association. Has it been too soon for you to hear from any of them that they may actually want to do this?
I actually think some are contemplating this. We are mounting a campaign to help all of the hospitals across the Commonwealth become smoke-free inside and out. Of course, they all are inside and many are out, but some haven't yet taken that step. So for them, that's a big step. They're complicated, large organizations. You know, I have 45 employees and who, by and large, feel this is a very good move and are proud of the fact that we're you know, putting our toe in the water on this important health policy issue.
So you just said the Mass Hospital Association has 45 employees. So far, the ban just applies to a relatively small organization.
Exactly. And only, you know, to people who might want to work here. And it will be so clearly stated and so much a part of our culture that this is something that we do not embrace and do not condone that I don't think people will even apply here if they are tobacco users.
Your organization is small enough that it sounds like a symbolic move, largely.
Well, it is symbolic, but, you know, every movement starts with symbolism. Every movement starts with somebody saying, hey, I'll go first. And so, you know, we are supposed to be role models, and we want to walk the talk on this issue. So when we talk about healthcare issues and, you know, more deaths caused from tobacco use than HIV, illegal drug use, alcohol use, motor vehicle injuries, suicides, murders, all of those combined don't equate to the number of people who die from tobacco use. And so, you know, I'm one CEO at least who's in a position to say this is important and we're going to try to do something in our own small way about this.
Lynn Nicholas of the Mass Hospital Association. I mentioned that we also have Andrew Tarsi with us. He's executive director of the Progressive Business Leaders Network. And Andy, your organization has concerns about a policy like this. What are your concerns?
Well, I certainly have concerns. The members of our organization, which is about 140, 150 CEOs and executives, haven't taken a vote on it. We're just processing the news. But having polled a bunch of them and talked with them about these issues, I can say that employers have a lot of concerns with this approach, not with the intentions behind it. I think Lynn and I have talked health policy issues, and we see the Hospital Association and Lynn in particular as a leader in framing the importance of health as a policy priority and a workplace priority. But this is really well-intended and very misguided. Why? I think, first of all, it goes way too far with what we already know is a culture that doesn't condone smoking. And it does create a slippery slope. We've talked about, will drinking be next? Will other risky behaviors, people who ski Black Diamond trails on their vacation? Frankly, there's so much in play about obesity and risk of chronic disease from other behaviors. So will that list start to grow? I think a second is whether it's even effective. The carrots are effective. We've totally changed our culture around smoking and even around other risky behaviors through a variety of other means. Cessation programs need investment, incentives for healthier lifestyles that even include ideas around co-pays being adjusted or premiums being adjusted for employees that maybe don't smoke. And then I think lastly, there's a whole list of unintended consequences. For one, we have data that shows that more people below the poverty line smoke. There's a question about enforceability. Are folks now at this workplace supposed to rat each other out if they know that someone is smoking?
So, Andrew Tarsi, you just mentioned data showing that people who are low income are more likely to smoke. So are you suggesting that this could end up disproportionately affecting low-income people or people in socioeconomic classes who are more likely to smoke and ends up being a classist policy in a way?
It could be. I would like to know Lynn's point of view because I know she's very familiar with the data, but it at least facially, the CDC data shows that there is more smoking below the poverty line. There are fewer people having a harder time quitting in that category, and I would be curious to know for job classifications at MHA, are they trying to signal to that segment of the workforce that they're not welcome.
So Lynn Nicholas of the Mass Hospital Association, what about that? Because I believe data does show that minority groups and low-income groups are more likely to smoke than higher socioeconomic classes. And I'm wondering if you worry about the possibility that even inadvertently you screen out groups such as that.
No, I think that's actually, a very far-reaching stretch of anything that we're thinking about. We have a very, very diverse workforce now, and we're actually very proud of that. And let's face it, in socioeconomic classes, there are many, many issues related to poverty, related to, weight, related to a lot of issues that affect different groups proportionally. I think the slippery slope analogy is kind of cute. Andy, I do ski Black Diamond trails when I'm on vacation. So, this is not a slippery slope issue at all. We clearly feel that this one issue is one that, people choose to smoke. They initially choose to smoke, and yes, many have difficulty quitting, and we do help our current employees quit. And carrots just don't work. The evidence actually shows that it's the cigarette taxes, it's the smoking bans, it's the difficulty in finding places to smoke that have made a difference. Carrots are a little bit additive, but they are not the reason that smoking rates have gone down.
Listeners, we're talking about a new ban announced this week, or a new policy by the Mass Hospital Association that will rule out hiring smokers. And we want to know what you think about that. Is it fair? Is it long overdue? Is it unfair? We're at 1-800-423-8255. Again, it's 1-800-423-TALK. And Alex from Duxbury is calling. Alex, what is your thought about this new policy?
Yes. I am, first of all, very, very anti-smoking. I think, a cigarette should be $3 a piece. It just should be cost prohibitive to smoke. But I also think that, doing something like this just, opens the door to banning other things that people do for, whether it's, eating fatty foods or, same-sex partners, banning that. It's not illegal to smoke, so why couldn't it be illegal to ban same-sex partners at your company?
Alex, thank you for that. And Alex, your comment is certainly echoed by many people who weighed in on BUR's website after Martha Biebinger's story ran this morning. One person talked about totalitarian government intrusions. Another person said it reeks of Big Brother. I came across a blog this morning, and Lynn Nicholas and Andrew Tarsi, I'd like to get your take on this. One person, this blogger, pointed out that he downhill skis, he rides a road bike, he swims alone in a lake, increasing his risk of drowning. He often uses a gasoline-powered chainsaw, and he eats way too much ice cream. And all of those are things that could hurt his health, cause his employer's health costs to increase. And I wonder, Lynn Nicholas, you first, how you assure people that, does it really stop at smoking? Or could we really start looking more closely at what people do on their private time, including too much ice cream eating?
Well, boy, that person sounds like some people I know. What's really, I think, disappointing about this is the assumption that this is a slippery slope and just opening the door to a wider agenda. And every one of the risky behaviors that you just described, and you could add 20 more to that individual and add them up and multiply them across the populace, and it doesn't begin to touch the deaths from smoking. Half of all smokers die from their addiction. That's irrefutable. So, we're really just saying that it's such a huge health issue, and it is so many patients are in our hospitals or leading shorter lives. People who smoke die 14 years earlier than non-smokers. I really, really care about my workforce. They're talented. They're smart. People want to work here, and we want people who want to work here who embrace our culture. So this is part of our culture, and it's not for everyone.
Lynn Nicholas, thanks for that. Andrew Tarsi, is this persuasive to you at all? Lynn Nicholas says it is not a slippery slope, and really the health issue needs to prevail. Is this persuasive for you?
It's not. I think Lynn's coming from the right place, which, again, is that we have two crises in the country, health and cost. And I know that we've discussed, Lynn and I and our members in the business community, how to tackle those issues at the big picture level and even in the workplace. This feels like a real distraction. The slippery slope is something we're all aware of, checking off lists with insurance applications, people who want to say that smoking is in a category all to its own, or really maybe technically correct, but if you look at the obesity epidemic, the cost of treating chronic diseases in the system, I think it's a bit of a distinction without a difference.
Listeners, we're talking about a new policy announced this week by the Mass Hospital Association that says that that employer will not hire you if you're a smoker, and we want to know what you think. 1-800-423-8255. Matt is calling from Lowell, and Matt, what do you think about this policy?
I was just wondering if the business would suffer from losing qualified candidates, possible applicants for their pool, if they're coming down on the smoking segment of the population. If there's, you know, two candidates and one happens to be more highly qualified but yet a smoker, doesn't that really kind of limit their choice there?
Matt, thanks for that. Lynn Nicholas, what about that? Are you willing to give up on the best candidate just because that person might be a smoker?
Well, you know, good employees are a composite of many attributes. They're a composite of their work ethic. They're a composite of what they know knowledge-wise bring to the table. They're, part of it is, will they fit well in your culture? Will they be productive? And so, you know, yeah, if there are two people and they're equally qualified, or one is slightly more qualified and the only difference is that one uses tobacco and the other doesn't, I would embrace, and I think our workforce would embrace, the individual who's not a tobacco user, because they'd fit in better here with the healthy ethic and the beliefs that we share.
We also have a caller from Mashpee. This is Richard. And Richard, what do you think about this policy that says that smokers will not be considered for employment?
Well, there's a microcosm and a macrocosm for me. On the one hand, I think it's company by company. In other words, you don't walk into a health gym and see somebody who's 350 pounds overweight behind the desk. And that's just selective hiring and without it being stated the way they're putting out there. The other side of it is I really believe, and this is, I feel it's, you know, selfish with a big quote around it, you know, we're supporting in our healthcare costs a lot of people's behaviors that I'm tired of supporting personally. Healthcare costs go up because of people not wanting and willing to take care of themselves. I'm happy to write it into policy to get help and support. But if a company wants to do that, so be it. And maybe that's a great message to pass out.
Richard, thanks for that. So, Andrew Tarsi, this sounds like one for you. Here's someone who says when people smoke and it makes them sick and other people sick, it affects the rest of our pocketbooks in terms of higher health care costs. What about that?
Well, it definitely does. And we have the top priority, again, which I think we'd all agree about. So that's why I think this is a bit of a distraction, is that we have behavioral epidemics in America that are driving both bad health and costs, and we need pretty dramatic changes to deal with both. One of the issues that the caller raises that resonates with me, and I think with a lot of employers, is if some employers refuse to hire these people, they're essentially offloading the cost of higher cost employees onto the marketplace. So either those people, you know, if Lynn's idea is taken up by everybody, then people who smoke or on the slippery slope have other, you know, bad habits won't be employable. Look, the society's still going to have to bear the cost of those people's choices. And if she's refusing to employ them, then the people down the street are going to employ them. The cost, you know, to all of us doesn't really go away.
Lynn Nicholas, last question for you. How realistically do you enforce this? Does this mean you're going to be urine testing, nicotine testing, or is this an honor system where you just expect people to truthfully tell you if they smoke or not?
Well, Sasha, great question. We're doing the latter. Technically, we could test. And if we did test, we would do a urine test. We wouldn't do anything that requires drawing blood. We strongly considered that. But I think another attribute that I really value in people is integrity and honesty. So we're using an honor system, and we believe that that will be enough. But, you know, if someone takes the position and they are a tobacco user and they're dishonest about it, there would be consequences, and in all likelihood, they could lose their job. And so those aren't the kind of folks that I want working
sure.
And representing hospitals in Massachusetts.
Lynn Nicholas, thank you for that. Lynn Nicholas is the president and CEO of the Massachusetts Hospital Association, and Andrew Tarsi is executive director of the Progressive Business Leaders Network. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you, Sasha.
We'll be back after a short break. Stay with us. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. This is Radio Boston.